Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. We've been looking at the theme of care or caring in the past 6 weeks or so, and we've been hearing from different preachers, from missionaries that we support who are on home assignment, to former pastors who are here, and last week we have our youth among us to preach along the same theme. And as we close this series today, I'd like to start by thanking all of them. It's what a privilege, what a blessing to be able to hear from different views and from all of you who have a long relationship and a deep love for this church. And I'd also like to acknowledge people who have been following us through the live stream throughout this lockdown. I know that they exist. I know some people from Canberra watch quite religiously, devotional, quite commit to this service that we hold online. And as the lockdown is and people would start to go back to the physical church in person, and I this might well be the last service that they will be with us online. So thank you and for your support, and I just want to bless you and your church as you return. Well, to you who are here today, it's a bit strange, isn't it? I just realized this is actually my first sermon in person, live here. I'm sure you feel probably as as much strangers as I'm experiencing now. It's like, oh, I've been preaching to this like little pinhole camera and just imagining all of your faces and lives, and now we're seeing each other in person, finally. Well, on a broad theme like this, I feel that there's still so much to talk about. And actually, I was really hoping to talk about care and creation, the environment. But I have decided to talk about care and spirituality and to preach on it based on Psalm 23. Because I believe this passage, I'm convinced that this passage has come to my mind not by my own idea of thinking, but from God himself. And I've preached on this psalm recently in the Cantonese congregation and also in the Putonghua congregation, and today I'm preaching it again. Yes, I try to be lazy, you know, one sermon, but it doesn't work like that, even though I want to. It's still three different sermons. In some ways, it's a bit confusing. But more importantly, I believe this passage, this psalm, is what God has brought to me and to us to shepherd me and to shepherd all of us as a church, to form in us the kind of spirituality that I need and we need so that we can offer and to give the kind of care that others need in our time. There's probably no other passage in that is more widely known or well-loved in the whole Psalter or even the whole Bible than this particular psalm. You might be so familiar with it that you can recite it by heart. But sometimes that sense of familiarity could be a problem, isn't it? Because it could make this psalm lose its power on us. It's kind of like, you know, when you're trying to find something that you've lost, and you know, you look everywhere in the house, and then it turns out it was just sitting there the whole time in the place that you think you have already looked and concluded that it's not there, and it's just right there. You know, when we think we already know something and know it very well, we might be actually missing something. And so, as I prepare for this sermon, I had spent quite some time reading it in Hebrew and try to translate it from Hebrew myself, and not because I know Hebrew well, but because I don't, that forces me to slow down and really read and understand each word. And along the way, I've come across a new song based on this psalm in Hebrew, composed by Mikadam, which is a young Jewish band. It's a great song. It's very refreshing, nothing like what we normally hear in other praise and worship, you know, composition. But and also along the way, I came across some of the I found very helpful footages produced by Our Daily Bread, and they were shot in the Holy Land. And so with this material, I have edited a little music video, you know, and on it I keyed in my translation and the Hebrew transliteration. And I'll explain some of my translation decision throughout the sermon. And then I'll share that video with you towards the end afterwards. And I hope it will help you get a deeper sense of this psalm and better receive God's message to us, which I believe says this. I, Yahweh, am your shepherd. You lack nothing. I am with you, and you can fear nothing. God is saying, I am your shepherd. You lack nothing. You have everything. I'm with you, and you can fear nothing. And we'll hear this in 3 points today. We'll hear it through looking at the background of this psalm, the spirituality of the psalmist, and thirdly, the care that is needed today, the kind of care that is needed today. So the background of the psalm, the spirituality of the psalmist, and the kind of care that is needed today. So first, the background. There are many, many things that we don't know, actually. We can't know for sure, at least. Right from the start, it says that this is a psalm of David. That shepherd boy who became the king of Israel. We can't be sure when David wrote this psalm or at what point in his life he wrote it. Whether it is before he became king or after. And some scholars even, you know, say that, you know, maybe this is not even written by David, although it is about David. So surely, I think we're meant to read this psalm with David's experience as a shepherd in mind. But perhaps we are also supposed to read it with the other stories of, you know, how he become king of Israel in mind as well, like how he faced the giant Goliath and defeated him with nothing but just a stick and a stone, or how he spared Saul's life, you know, in that dark cave because he cared the fact that Saul was God's anointed, even though Saul cared nothing about him and wanted to hunt him down and kill him. At least these are some of the stories. These could be some of the stories, the background stories that later generations of Israelites could have in mind whenever they read this poem attributed to the greatest leader in the nation's history. So one thing we do know and we should know is where David shepherded his flock. Many of you must have, you know, seen videos, you know, on YouTube or whatever channel that the, you know, songs written based on this psalm, and the background is usually some, you know, very serene scenery, you know, and then the music is, you know, peaceful and quiet and calming, and you know, pretty, you know, and probably it's because of the fact that this psalm does mention things like that, you know, green pasture and quiet waters. However, the real physical background is nothing like that. The real physical background where David shepherded the flock is the Judean wilderness. The Judean wilderness. You know, because the shepherd in Israel, they don't want the green pasture, the greens in the or the farmland to be completely consumed by the livestock. So They have to lead the flock out into the wilderness and shepherd them there. And in the wilderness, there is no pasture, no water, no river. There's no shelter or protection. There's no people. There's no road, no signs, no map. You can read about it. And there's no end and no boundary. It's a vast and fearsome, horrible, wonderful wilderness. It's a place that lacks everything. If you've got a pet and you have the experience of trying to train your pet to lie down, you'd know that it's not that simple, at least not to me. Now imagine a place where there's no green pasture or no, you know, comfortable floor. There's no quiet water by which you can let your pet to comfortably lie down. Instead, you know, it's rocky and sandy soil. And then you've got to get not one, not two, but a whole flock of unbroken animals to lie down. I mean, it's mission impossible. I mean, like, they're not going to just listen to you. And then the psalmist says, you know, he refreshes my soul. And then the word there, soul, in Hebrew, actually literally means breath, your breath. Actually, in biblical Hebrew, there's no word for soul. And Hebrew thoughts, at least in biblical times, are very much all about the here and now. And the fact that we read, you know, eternity or eternal life and spiritual life, those are probably more Christian spiritualized interpretation of those words. And then in the wilderness, you realize that when there's no sign, no clear road, or no map that you can follow, it is easy to lose one's way. And you could walk till you get a heat stroke and still you couldn't find your way home. And so perhaps a better way to understand or translate that line might be that, you know, my breath, he brings back, or he restore, you know, he revive my breathing. And he continues to say that he guides me along the right path for his namesake in the NIV, which is great. If you happen to know Chinese, in the Chinese Union Version, it is, again, it's spiritualized, and it reads, he leads me on a path of righteousness. And again, in Hebrew, actually, the root word there is maga, which means a path that is that runs in a circle, a path that goes around and around and around. And in a video, which I'll show you later, you will see that, you know, there's some kind of ring-like pattern by the hillside, which you might think it's some kind of natural geological formation, but they were actually formed by the sheep walking day after day, you know, week after week, years after years, along the hillside in circles. Because on dry and sandy hill, you know, you can't just go up and down on a straight line, at least not like for human beings. And to go from point A to point B, often you have to go around, you know, take it almost like a detour. And you have to take each step very carefully. More importantly, there's actually grass in the wilderness, but they are few and sparse because, you know, they only have rainfall there only once or, you know, a few times a year. And so the grass there are grown by water, by dew condensed from humid air. And so grass and water, they do exist, but they are not easy to find in the wilderness. And whether the sheep has something to eat or to drink there, it all depends on the shepherd. So a good shepherd refers not only to the kindness or the gentleness and compassion of the heart, but also the ability to discern, to judge, and to lead well of the shepherd. And shepherding in the wilderness may seem, you know, very free and boundless. You know, you can do whatever you want. It's so great, right? Especially after we came out from the lockdown, right? But under those circumstances, you realize that for each direction that the shepherd takes, for each step they make, they have to be certain in their heart. They have to have a kind of certainty and assurance that they are making the right decision. Yes, it looks free, but every decision, every step, every discernment matters. And in their heart, there needs to be some kind of assurance that they are making the right step and taking the right direction. not only for providing all that their sheep needs, but also for their own name's sake, their own fame among other shepherds. You don't want to be talked badly among your colleagues, you know, or in the same industry, right? So I translated that verse as, "He guides me step on the right path. He guides me step on the right path." So the wilderness, that's the real background where David shepherded the sheep. And there's nothing natural about sustaining or nurturing life in the wilderness. And to be expected to provide everything for the sheep in a place that lacks everything, it's something that immediately humbles you. One realizes that, you know, there's something spiritual going on. And it is also the background of the origin story of the greatest national leader in Israel's history, of where the spirituality of their shepherd king was formed. And that leads to a second point, the spirituality of David, of the psalmist. The shepherd, first of all, throughout this whole psalm, asks for nothing. You can search for the whole psalm and you won't find one single request that he made to God. Not asking for providence or guidance or direction or protection. None. Even though it is only natural and there's nothing wrong to ask for those things in those circumstances, right? And secondly, you realize he fears nothing in the face of deep darkness, great unknowns and uncertainty. He says, "I fear no evil. I fear no harm." You know, we may underestimate the staff and the rod in the hands of the shepherd, right? You know, if you face a wild animal trying to attack the sheep, what good is this little stick, right? But we may despise them, but, you know, in those circumstances, David said to him, they are the sign through which God shows his presence and care to him. These little things that we despise is the very means through which God says, "I'm here with you, David." And David saw that. He saw that. So he asks for nothing. He fears for nothing. And if there's anything we could find in this psalm, is that there's a declaration of faith. He says, "I lack nothing. I lack nothing. I have everything I need." So in this psalm, we see a pledge of trust in God in wilderness. A declaration of confidence that I have everything in a place that seems to have nothing, seems to lack everything. And to be in a place that lacks everything and be expected to provide for the sheep everything they need, and not to ask God for anything, only declaring that he fears nothing and has everything already and lacks nothing. That is the spirituality of the psalmist, of David. And that is the spirituality that we need and I need in our time, in our context. It is a spirituality that recognizes one's limitation. A spirituality that recognizes a sense of deep inadequacy and all the lackings and all the uncertainties that one experiences in the wilderness. It doesn't dismiss them. It is not out of touch with reality or in denial. No. It is deeply connected to our human emotion and our senses of finitude. But at the same time, it doesn't want to stay there. It's a refusal to stay there, not because we believe in our own human ability. No. It remains trusting and calm and confident in God and God alone. You know, can I let you into a secret? Actually, I don't always find these psalms helpful for myself. No. I find it hard to make it my own. I find it takes a lot of work, a lot of prayer to make these words, these declarations of trust, my own. You know, I often feel You know, how come David finds it so easy to see God and spot his care and trust him? It's a bit unfair, isn't it? How come some people make it seem so easy to make these words their own and to declare them? We'd have to sing them and sing them happily and clap their hands in church. Even when, and especially when, God seems to be so absent in their life and they're in such tough times. I admire that faith. I want that faith like that. And how come I don't? I mean, wouldn't it be great that, you know, we all have that kind of spirituality? And could we ever have it? And how? And here's David's secret. It's right here in the start of the psalm. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David was, who was originally a shepherd himself, now, interestingly, says he's also a sheep. He's a sheep who has a shepherd, he says. And God himself is his shepherd, whose name he knows. And in your English Bible, you would read the word Lord in four capital letters, right? Do you know what that means? It actually means that the revealed holy name of God was supposed to be there in the original Hebrew. And yet, the scribes and the teachers of the law, when they copy the manuscript, they fear that God might punish the people because of their rebellions against God after the exile experience. So in order to protect Israel from committing the sin of taking the name of the Lord in vain, so when they copy the name of God, they purposefully omit the vowels in the original. And so you only read the consonant. And some Bible, you would read the capital L-O-R-D as just Y-H-W-H. So even if they want to read the name of God, they can't know for sure. And of course, there are only so many vowels. There are only so many vowels we can sort of plug in, right? So today, most scholars, most widely accepted educated guess of the name of God is Yahweh. And so when you read some other translation, you read the name of God there as Yahweh, as opposed to the Lord. But anyway, we don't know for sure what the real revealed name of God is in that sense. And also, we can't be sure, we can make this psalm our own, because after all, this God is the God of Israel. And we are not Jews, we are not Israelites. Like, why are we supposed to read this ancient book that is from another culture to apply into our days and into our time, our culture, right? So, but anyway, here's David's secret. He says, "The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd, and I lack nothing because of that." So, even when we find ourselves in the wilderness, even when we experience wilderness in a place that lacks everything, this psalm seems to be saying that spirituality that we wish to have, that kind of faith that we want to have and the world needs from us, can still be formed in us by God, who is our shepherd. Even in the places that you would least expect those things to be formed, even in places that lacks everything, every resources that you need. And the good news, part of the good news is this: you don't need to be in the right uni, you don't need to be in the right institution to have all the great facilities and, you know, world-class professor. No. In the wilderness, in where you are, God is your shepherd. And he can form that in you. He can form that life, that faith, that spirituality in you. All that you need to face whatever wilderness he has called you into, to offer his care through you to others. wherever you are, whatever wilderness you're finding yourself in, He can make that, He can form that life in you. That kind of spirituality can be a wellspring, a fountain of a particular kind of care. You know, it's not just some kind of very general, be nice to everyone and, you know, take it easy kind of, I guess, Aussie way of care, you know. Just step back, give people space, just, you know, take it easy. No. It's a very specific kind of care. It is care that seeks to care for others even when you don't feel cared for. A kind of care that keeps on giving when you feel you're not receiving. Even when everything seems to be telling you that God doesn't care, that He has somehow like casted you off or abandoned you or, you know, left you alone to your own devices, you still care for Him. You still care for God's, His purpose, His will, and His people. And you keep on caring even when it doesn't reciprocate. And you keep on hoping that someday it will. And you keep on giving the kind of care that others want, while the kind of care that you wish to receive is keep on being denied. It is a kind of care that recognizes your own limitation to give, but at the same time, you still want to give more. You still want to give more. You keep pushing the limitation to edge towards your limit. And maybe there you can reach the spiritual power that God has promised. It's a care that finds its resilience not in fear or anxiety, but in confidence and trust and in kingliness and leadership. You know, the world is not all there is, and you're not already all that God has wanted you to be, and you trust that as you put yourself in His hand, in His gracious hand, you ask Him to increase your capacity just by this much, you will find that He has actually all along has given you a whole lot more, and you will experience that. You will. It is that a very particular kind of care that we are talking about. Isn't that kind of care that our church needs and the world needs? Isn't that kind of care that you wish to be able to offer to others and others offer to you? I don't know what you're feeling today or coming out of the lockdown. Are you feeling that you are in your wilderness, in some kind of wilderness now? What experience of lacking or wanting or uncertainty and fear you face? I think during the lockdown, a lot of our sense of control and independence and self-sufficiency were gone. All of a sudden, And many people, especially those who live alone, had a real tough time. And some told me that, they can't even sleep very well in their bed at night, comfortable as it is. Is that your wilderness? And then looking at CBC, there's so many things we lack, right? We don't have a children ministry worker. We don't have a senior/Cantonese pastor. We don't have this and that. Is that the wilderness you see? And this week I went to the city. Finally, yes, I finally feel that. And I have a rare opportunity that I can just have a few hours. I can take myself out into the business, the CBD area, and just experience the vibe, the energy. And I can't help but wonder, there's so much people, so many people and opportunities here, right here in the city. What am I doing? And what is CABC doing in Thornley, this little suburb, this remote place, seems to be so a bit disconnected to all the actions and density of people and meetings of culture. And then we take a step back and look at the world, from Hong Kong to Afghanistan. places where it used to be called a city or ancient empire that has everything. But today we see such a mass exodus of migrants or refugees, whatever you call them, people who, for freedom or for whatever reason, feel that they have to leave their home and go to a foreign place to start their life all over again, like living their lives in circles, round and round, taking detours after detours, like sheep wandering in the wilderness without a shepherd. Is that the wilderness you see? Do you see that? And I sense, brothers and sisters, these are the kinds of wilderness in which God is leading us into. The times he is leading us into and calling us to care for and shepherd together with other churches in this city and cities around the world in a time such as this. But I also see my own lackings, my own inadequacy. And in order to live out that calling, that vision, we must first recognize and acknowledge that we are actually sheep first. Sheep that has a shepherd who is God himself and whose name we know. We know for sure. And let us learn to believe that we need God more than sheep needs any human shepherd. And God's care for us is far more trustworthy and reliable than any human shepherd can give to the sheep. And we can trust God far more then any flock can trust their human shepherd. And as a shepherd, as the shepherd, it's all that the sheep needs. God and God alone is all that we need. As long as we have his presence, we have everything. And sometimes I wonder that this whole pandemic, whether it is a place where God leads us into, the church into, to know that he is really everything that we have, so that we can learn that he is really all that we need. And there's nothing natural about this vision and calling. To be in a place that lacks everything, to be in a wilderness, and at the same time, to step into the calling to seek to offer everything that others need is extraordinary. It's not normal to expect that you can sustain and nurture life in that way. It's spiritual. It immediately humbles us. I hope it does. And yes, when we are in those places, those dry desert wilderness, often it seems that we are left to our own device. And sometimes we can't help but to wonder if we are really being shepherded by God in the wilderness, or are we just being thrown into this world and abandoned and being exiled even by him? And with such doubt and unbelief, I feel that we had no choice but often to take matters into our own hands. And we say to ourselves, I am my own shepherd. I have to be my own shepherd, but I never have enough. Even when I try to lie down to rest, even if I take myself out to nice vacations, by still waters, I'm still restless. I run my breath out. And for my own name's sake, for my own glory, I tell others what to do, what is right, and insist on my own way. And yet when things get real uncertain, really uncertain, really dark, my fear paralyzes me. Even the best evidence and best empathy that you experience can't calm you down. Is that the psalms of your heart? Is that how you tell yourself sometimes? And when things go bad, all of a sudden God exists and you blame him. When things go well, sometimes you think, oh, it's all my wisdom, it's all my credit. No. When we look at our lives like that, when we see that this is how we are with God, we've got to admit we don't really deserve to have a God to be our shepherd. We don't. So as I close, there remains a final question. How can I be so sure that today God is saying to us that He is your shepherd, that He's saying to you that I am your shepherd, you lack nothing, I am with you, you can fear nothing. Yes, I am with you even though you don't deserve me. How can I be so sure that God is saying that to you? I can tell you with all my conviction and certainty that yes, even though we don't deserve Him, but He is your shepherd. He's more than willing to be your shepherd. Because we know that generations after David, there came another shepherd who went into the same wilderness, the worst wilderness. He went into that wilderness not just as a shepherd, but first as sheep, first of all, a perfect lamb of sacrifice who trusted and relied on God, on Yahweh, the shepherd, perfectly. He was exiled. He was truly exiled. So that we know that we never really are abandoned by God and exiled by Him. No. We may despise the cross and look to the world's problem and say, what good is this cross? But that is the ultimate rod and staff that God has given to the world to show that He cares. That's part of what the cross means. Through faith in Christ on the cross, we can have God as our own shepherd, despite our imperfect faith, despite our deep doubt and distrust of Him. Because of Christ and Christ alone, of what He has endured out there in the real dark wilderness, today we can say through Him, God is our great shepherd, whose name we know, and His name is Jesus. Though you are in the wilderness, He can still form in you that spirituality that you need in order to give the kind of care that others need. Even if you're not receiving the kind of care that you want, you can still offer the kind of care that others need. Even if you're in the darkest place, even if you're still uncertain as you step out and go back to your new normal life, like going through a dark tunnel and you don't know what's going to come on the other side after this lockdown and after this pandemic. Despite all of that, God is saying to you today, in Christ, you can fear nothing. He is with you. You lack nothing because Jesus is saying, I am your shepherd. I'm your good shepherd. You lack nothing. Let us pray. God, we come before you and ask that we want to experience this psalm more and more. We want to make it more and more of our own. For those who have already been able to do that, we praise you for that, for their faith, for their simple trust in you. And for those who are still living life like we are our own shepherd, we have to be our own shepherd, we pray you will show them your rod and your staff, your reality that has always been there in their lives. And for the rest of us who are somewhere in between, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief and help us to make this more and more our prayer, our declaration, our praise. We want to be able to fear nothing. We want to be able to come to you with no request but a pledge of trust and praise. And help us to be in that place with that spirituality more and more so that we can be a fountain of care for others, for your name's sake, for your glory. And amen.